Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast. With Mobile's award-winning garden expert and chief horticultural advisor for Mobile Botanical Gardens, Bill Finch. We'll talk about living and growing on the Gulf Coast. Now, your personal yard and garden consultant, here's Bill Finch.
Hey, welcome back. It's a Gulf Coast Sunday morning with Plain Gardening. You know, it's coming up, Christmas here. People are looking for gifts of all kinds. Want to talk a little bit about that this morning. What are you going to do for gifts here for gardeners coming up on the end of the year? You haven't done your shopping. You're wondering, you know, maybe you don't care so much about gardening, but you know somebody who does. What would you do? Maybe you just want to give yourself a good gift for Christmas. Let me make some suggestions this morning. Because, and these are things that you know, I hope you'll pay attention to, even if you don't have to give gifts, because these are really great resources for gardeners this time of year. And so I've been thinking about, well, what do people want? And what kinds of things do people want? Let me make some good suggestions. Fruit trees. This is a big thing for gardeners here. You know, we often make a mistake by going to someplace like those big catalogs glossy catalogs that they send you in the mail from somebody in Missouri who's trying to sell you a plant on the Gulf Coast, a fruit tree for the Gulf Coast, and you think, oh, I got to have apples because that's the only thing out there is apples. Well, there's so many great fruits for the Gulf Coast. And let me just mention that we talk a lot about different kinds of fruit trees. Persimmons, pomegranates, figs, satsumas. There's some great choices for the Gulf Coast. Pears. But sometimes those can be hard to find. And let me tell you about a place for your gardener. If you want to get something, and you can just get a gift certificate now. This is the great thing about some of these places that we're going to talk about. You can get a gift certificate. You can come back right after the holidays, which will be a great time to plant. Talk to them about get some fruit trees for your gardener. What are some great what is a great resource? There's one really good resource for the Gulf Coast that I need you to know about and that your gardener would love. It's called Just Fruits and Exotics. That's the name of the nursery. Just Fruits and Exotics. Weird name, but it says it all. Just Fruits and Exotics. And they have done a great job of supplying plants for the Gulf Coast for a long time. You can find them on their website, justfruitsandexotics.com. You can get a gift certificate from them. They don't advertise on our show. They don't give me any money. It's just because I have worked with them for so long. I have bought plants from them for so long, and I know they're so reliable. They bend over backwards. I ordered some persimmon trees this year from them. I want you to know, they were just, I thought, you know what? Normally I pick them up from the nursery, which is over in Crawfordville, Florida, which is a hike. But I thought, you know, I'm going to order them by mail. I know the trees are going to be smaller. These were huge trees. I could not believe they were sending this through the mail. They do a beautiful job of packaging it. They do a beautiful job of sending the trees, Just Fruits and Exotics. I wish I could talk about all the different types of plants that they have, but let me just name two. They've got a great selection of figs. They'll have a better selection of figs coming up this spring. Incredible selection of figs. They've got a good selection of pears. They even have some apples, even apples that would do well on the Gulf Coast. It's kind of interesting. But let me tell you about two groups of plants that they do have. They have the best selection of persimmons probably in the country that you can buy. They are incredible persimmons, and they are absolutely delicious. When my persimmon tree is in fruit, and I got my persimmon tree from Just Fruits and Exotics 15 years ago or longer, when that tree is in fruit, I mean, people stand on the sidewalk and just gawk at that persimmon tree. It is beautiful. The fruits are beautiful. I give them the fruits, and they say, man, I had no idea. These are Japanese persimmons, not American persimmons. They have American persimmons, too, that are very good. But, man, what a selection. You call me. Let's talk about what kind of persimmons your gardener might like. There's some great ones from that site. Pomegranates. Pomegranates, we forget about pomegranates and what great fruits they are for the Gulf Coast. Just Fruits and Exotics, a great place. Let's talk about that a little bit more. You know, there's another good place if you like roses. If you like roses, go up to Petals from the Past. Get your gardener a beautiful rose. Let's talk about some roses. You know, we have the parking lot rose, which is now everywhere. What do they call it? Knockout roses. But if your gardener wants something besides that parking lot rose, a rose that, my goodness, has fragrance. Can you believe roses used to have fragrance? Well, they did until the knockout rose came along. Incredibly beautiful roses, voluptuous roses, really great roses for you. You can get them from Petals from the Past. It's on a drive on the interstate. Just go up I-65 to Birmingham. It's right there in Thorsby. They have a great selection of roses. You can do the roses. We're going to talk about seeds. Seeds as stocking stuffers. Man, there's a bunch of seeds we need to be buying right now. Whether we're giving them as gifts or giving them to ourselves, we need to be doing those. We're going to be talking about those in this hour, too. And, you know, we've got, there's some other great things, camellias. Can I talk about camellias? I really want to talk about camellias because it reminds me of this voice. You know, folks, here's an interesting thing. I feel like I'm friends with you guys. It's just incredible. Some folks I never see. I don't even know what you look like, but I know your voices. You're part of the show. And here's this voice that I want us all to remember. This may be the last time we hear this voice. Charlie, do you remember that voice? Can we play that voice one last time? Tax man, I'm listening. What's up?
That was good coverage on that fig tree planting bill. That was real good. Look, on transplanting, I've lived down here about 60 years. I've never transplanted anything. I've cut down a lot of things. I've dug up a lot of things and thrown them away. But you're wasting your time transplanting, unless it's a very rare plant now, like you described. But just go to your local nursery store, local nursery now, not the big box ones now, local, and get it in a three-gallon container and bring it home and plant it, and you know what you got. You want to work for 50 cents an hour digging up something? Would a man want to deliver his own baby? I think not. No, you don't do that. Because you're worried, did I get enough root? Did I get enough dirt on? Now I got to plant it. Then you got to want. No, get it container grown, and then you're ready to go. And you'll have so much a better life, and your wife won't fuss at you either now, Bill.
That's right.
But don't
well, that's
waste
right.
Your
and
time.
I know that.
All right. Bye-bye.
Good to hear from you, Taxman. Thank you.
On a lot of plants.
And Taxman knows. Always had a project going. He had 1,000 projects. He was famous for his camellias. He was famous for his amaryllis. He had amaryllis. This year he's been experimenting with growing tomatoes in containers. He's always looking at different kinds of soils, always trying to figure something out, always doing something new. He must have been in his 80s. He died suddenly this past week. We're all going to miss him a lot. We're really going to miss him. And we're going to miss his voice. We're going to miss his participation in this show. But, you know, there's one thing about Taxman. He was involved in gardening because he knew to his and he made a difference to other man. What would we do for Taxman if we could this year? Here's what we would do. We would garden, and we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about how to celebrate Taxman's memory on this show. If you give us a call this morning, 251-343-0106, 251 1-800-343-0106. Let's talk a little bit more about Taxman. We'll talk a little bit more about how to celebrate gardening. We'll talk a little bit more about gardening gifts this morning, so feel free to give us a call. 251-343-0106. If you've got memories of Taxman, give us a call. Let us know about it. We'll be back. We're fixing to take a break. We'll be back. We got lots of callers this morning. We'll work it out. Give us a call.
Welcome back to Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast. Ask Bill Finch your gardening questions now at 343-0106.
Hey, welcome back. It's a Gulf Coast Sunday morning with Plain Gardening. You know, I was cutting out a little bit. I hope you got to hear Taxman, our great friend, real constant on this radio show, someone who's taught us all a lot. A person with immense patience with me over the years, has been a great friend, largely just remotely, just calling me every now and then, just even before I worked on the radio show, just to check on me, making sure everything was okay. Always has been a big supporter at the Botanical Gardens when I was there, has continued to be a supporter of the Botanical Gardens and the Camellia Society. A great experimenter, one who always experimented with gardening, even up to his last days. He suddenly had probably it was a heart attack. I'm not sure the details, but Taxman died last week, and we're going to miss him a lot. We're going to miss him a lot. But boy, did we learn a lot from Taxman over the years. It was good to have known him. We'll talk a little bit more about Taxman this morning. People are already sharing some memories of Taxman on the radio. He's been a good friend. He did folks' taxes, and that's how he got the name Taxman. Jim Oates was his real name. And what a great guy. What a great guy he was. He will be sorely missed. We're talking a little bit about Christmas gifts today. We're going to talk more about that, but we have some callers. Andy, what's up?
Yes, sir. I was calling. My wife asked me about planting thornless blackberries for her.
Yeah, well, there's a bunch of varieties out there, and I think they all sort of have the same virtues and all have the same drawbacks. They get diseases pretty easily, so you want to put them in a place with a lot of sun. And with a lot of air circulation, and realize that the blackberries, won't keep producing in the same place. You'll have to move them after a while. They'll probably last about 2 years, maybe 3 years in Mobile's climate before they need to be moved. You'll have to cut them back. All that's great. There are a lot of sources for blackberries right now. I don't know of any place in particular that's got better blackberries than others, but if you wanted some plants right away, if you get a chance, Petals from the Past has blackberries, And I would check out their selection of blackberries. I know they've got blackberries that are pretty well suited for Alabama. Blackberries don't do as well in Mobile as they do in central Alabama because of the disease problems that we have down here. But they can be pretty good. Do you need what other kind of information do you need about them?
Well, I was wondering about varieties. I've heard of the Natchez, I believe is the name of it.
And there are a bunch.
But all the information seems to come out of Arkansas on them. And I know
that's right.
Slightly different than Arkansas. So.
They are, but for the most part, all of the production of blackberries has been done in the central United States. And so all the varieties are coming out of the central United States. I don't know of any varieties that have been developed particularly for the disease conditions on the Gulf Coast. So that's why I don't think there's a lot of difference in the varieties. They're all going to be equally good and equally bad okay. for us because of where they come from.
Do I need to, for example, like dig a trench and plant them along the trench and then almost trellis them?
No. Here's what I would do, and I'll tell you, this is watching my dad. In our climate, you don't really want to dig a trench because there's just too much moisture. If anything, you want to plant them so that they're sitting high on the ground. So here's what I would do. When you plant them, crack the soil underneath them. Just crack it with a fork or a shovel. You don't need to turn it. You don't need to till it. Just crack it. Make sure you get rid of the weeds. Now, that's a big issue. You can do that. If you have time, you can do it by putting a mulch on there or something else like that. But go ahead and crack the soil. Try to get rid of as many weeds as you can, as many perennial weeds, and then come back with pine bark on top of that. About 3 inches of pine bark, and just lay it on the top and plant your 3 to 4 inches and put your blackberries in that layer, and they'll do really well. So you're going to make a bed about 3 feet wide. You're going to put pine bark on it where you want your blackberries to grow, just pine bark, each piece no bigger than your fingernail. That'll help the drainage, which is going to be really important. And plant your blackberries directly in it. No need to turn it. No, don't turn it. Don't do anything else. Just plant your blackberries directly in that mixture of mulch and soil right there on the top. And that'll be a great way to keep them going. My dad, when he had those blackberries, would take a post at either end of the blackberry row and then run a wire and then it kind of had a T-post, and then would run two wires that kind of helped keep the blackberries upright, if you see what I'm saying.
Right.
So there'd be a T-post at either end, just a little wire or even a string that just helps keep those blackberries upright. And that would probably be at the level of your waist or just a little higher is where that wire would come. And that's how he would manage those blackberries. Or sometimes he wouldn't do that at all. I'll have to say I've also seen him just let them run wild. They can flop over a bit though if you don't train them with a wire like that. So that's okay. Basically how I would do it.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Julius, what's up?
Hey, Bill. Hey, I really do enjoy your show every Sunday. Here's my question. Last year I bought an orange tree at one of the big box stores, and the tag on it says it's a temple orange, and I planted it at my place down on Fowl River, and it's been in the ground about 9 months now, and as best I can tell, it has not grown any. It looks healthy and everything, but I was just wondering what I needed to do to help the thing along.
Yeah, so, it's not unusual. It's not unusual. It's probably got nothing to do with the variety. Temples are a little tender, but they're a great orange. They are a really delicious, actually. They're a hybrid, like a what would I call them? I think they're a tangor, theoretically a cross between an orange and a tangerine, and they make really nice fruits. And I think you're probably right on the edge of the area where I think Temples could do well, that it's not too cold for them. So it's a good choice. I think you'll be very happy with it. Sometimes it takes a while for a citrus tree to get settled in, and that's okay. It'll probably do a lot of growth next year, but let's make sure we're doing it right. First off, how close is the grass to this tree?
I'd say roughly 8 inches, 10 inches.
Yeah. So the most important thing you can do is remove the grass out to a distance of about 3 feet at least, all the way around the tree. If you don't...
it's not anywhere close to that.
If you don't, it'll sit there for a long time. It'll sit there for a long time trying to compete with that grass. The other thing is, it's a little hard to tell, but make sure there's not a hard pan. If you do you have a garden fork?
Yes,
what I mean by garden? Yeah. So take a garden fork and just kind of poke it in the ground and see how hard it is to poke into the ground around that tree. If it's in this time of year, it's probably a little bit easier. But if you kind of poke it in just a little bit without a lot of pressure, and then at about 4 to 5 inches down, it's kind of, you really have to work hard to get it in. That means your soil has a hard pan, and hard pans develop easily in those sandy soils in South Mobile County, and it's just an area where the sand just sort of turns into concrete. It's amazing how it works, and it can be very difficult for the roots to penetrate. If that happens, you need to take that garden fork and crack the soil. I've talked about that a couple of times on the show already today. Just crack it. That doesn't mean turn it upside down. It doesn't mean till it. It just means put the fork in the ground, lean back on the fork, and just crack that soil so that you put cracks in that hard pan. And once you do that, the tree roots will be able to run into that hard pan very, very quickly. So that's the second thing you need to do. And then there's one more thing you need to do. Well, two more things. The third thing is check to make sure that you didn't plant the tree too deeply. So if you can see the first root coming off the trunk, if you see where that little flare is for the first root coming off the trunk, if you can see that above ground, you know that it's planted at the right height. If you don't see that first root coming out, you've planted it too deep. And if that's the case, you need to call me back next week and let's talk about it and let's figure out what to do about that. So that's the third thing. And the fourth thing is you're going to need to fertilize it next year. And I just put some cottonseed meal on it. Put cottonseed meal on it anytime this winter. Say put it on in late January, February, and that tree should grow really well if you do those things. So we're going to remove that grass, really important, crack the soil, make sure that your root flare is showing, make sure you can see that first root emerging from the trunk, and fourth, put some cottonseed meal on it this spring. Does that help?
I'll do those four things, and I really appreciate the advice. I'm sure glad I called.
All right. Good to hear from you. Let me know how that Temple does. It's a really fine citrus.
Yes, sir. Will do. Thank you.
All right.
Welcome back to Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast. Ask Bill Finch your gardening questions now at 343-0106.
You know, when I give answers and I think, did I give the right answer? Did I say the right thing? And I think, You know, I wonder what David Hubbell's going to think about that answer. And I think, you know, I wonder what John Olive's going to think. And I have to think, what's Dan going to think? I got many Dans out there, but, you know, which of the Dans? What are they going to think about this answer? Did I give the right answer? What's Polecat going to say? And then I have to think, you know, I always think, though, what is Taxman going to think? What is Taxman going to think about this answer? Is he gonna get mad, or is he going to call in and say, you hit it just right? I was always waiting for Taxman's response. We're going to miss Taxman. Going to miss him in a bad way. Going to miss his voice. Been part of the station for a long time. Been part of my life for a long time as well. But you know, he was gardening. He was experimenting till his last days. And sometimes we don't experiment enough, but Taxman was a great experimenter. He was always working with plants in one way or another. I had the pleasure of seeing his garden. This was long before I worked for the, I had this little radio show. And even before I worked for the Botanical Gardens, I had the pleasure of seeing Taxman's yard. He had plants everywhere. He had all sorts of plants, all sorts of experiments going. And until his last days, he had those experiments going. We'll miss him a lot. I know a lot of other people know Taxman from in a lot of other ways in Daphne. They had worked with him for many years. He's been a resident over there for decades. A real presence there. We're all going to miss Taxman. We're going to miss him a lot. And I'm hearing from a lot of people who will miss him too, who are used to turning in and hearing Taxman weigh in. Just a little thought for Taxman this morning. But I think the best way to remember Taxman and the best way to honor him is to garden and to experiment and to figure out where you are and to enjoy where you are. It was one of his great pleasures in life. Always experimenting with plants that did really well on the Gulf Coast. He was, we never did get the loquats that he wanted me to get for him, but that's something that you should follow up on. Loquats, something to think about for the Gulf Coast. Hey, give us a call this morning, 251-343-0106, 251-343-0106. One of the interesting, so we had a caller who said that their orange tree was not growing really well, and that they'd been planted for 9 months and hadn't grown much. You know, one of the things that happened was we had that drought, and remember, you got to water those trees when you first put them in. I'm glad the tree survived. It did really well. I said that there were four things he needed to look at. One, make sure that grass is as far away from the tree as it can be. This is very, very important when you're planting a tree in your yard. I don't care what kind of tree it is. And we think, oh, well, look, I'll make this little 6-inch little hole where I'm going to put the tree. That doesn't work, folks. Here's why. Grass is very competitive. It keeps other things from growing, and it keeps the roots. It competes fiercely with the roots of young trees. So trees that are in lawns where you don't clear the grass out, they just don't grow for a long time. They stagnate because they're having to compete with that grass, and it's very hard on them, very hard on those young trees. So I always say remove the grass, and I'm not talking about removing it 8 inches from the tree. I'm talking about removing the grass at least 3 feet out from the tree. Now, if you really wanted to do better, I would even do it 4 feet out from the tree. It can make a lot of difference in how quickly that tree adjusts. That's an 8-foot hole for your tree. It makes a lot of difference. So you've got an 8-foot hole, and there were some other things I suggested doing. You might want to crack the soil if there's a hard pan there. You don't need to add anything to the soil, really. Just need to crack it. What do you do about a mulch? Well, here's the thing. During the winter, and this is important, with things like citrus, not with other trees that are hardy, but with trees like citrus, if you put a mulch on in winter, it reduces the hardiness of the tree because they don't get that ground heat. And in fact, if there's grass under the tree, it reduces the hardiness of the tree because the ground heat doesn't actually get into the tree. And we'll talk about the importance of that. But it is very important in the winter, just leave the ground bare if you can. And then in late March, when the ground starts to heat up, and in April on the Gulf Coast, when the ground starts to heat up, then you can put the mulch on. Now, if you've got another tree, if you've got an oak tree or anything like that, you can go ahead and put the mulch on now. But the most important place is don't keep it right next to the trunk. Leave that mulch out from the trunk just a little bit. Leave a space around it. But if you've got something like a citrus that is not as hardy in winter as it needs to be, then be sure to leave the ground bare during winter and put your mulch on a little bit later. Just one thing to add. Hey, Robert, I'm listening. What's up?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
We love bougainvillea flowers, and we'll buy mostly from Davis Nursery in spring, and they're as pretty as the ones that are growing wild in the Florida Keys. And within 6 weeks, they start to not doing good, and then after 3 or 4 months, they all look like dying. The ones with in the ground do real well, but the hanging plants, they just don't cut it. And is that because they're not supposed to be a hanging plant?
No, in fact, they do real well as hanging plants. Let's talk about bougainvillea and the stages that they go through. And you can use a hanging plant to real good advantage. You know, one of the frustrations of putting bougainvillea in the ground here is that sometimes they don't bloom right. And let me tell you a little bit about bougainvilleas, and I'll tell you about what my granddaddy taught me about growing bougainvilleas. He loved bougainvilleas too. He was up in Jackson, Mississippi, and did real well with them in hanging pots, which is the only way you could do it. You couldn't put them in the ground in Jackson for a lot of reasons. One, you had Yazoo clay, which is just really disastrous for bougainvilleas because the drainage would be so bad. And two, it was way too cold. So he always kept them in pots and always did really well. But bougainvilleas are from dry climates that have a very distinct rainy season. And then they're very dry the rest of the year, those climates are. And that's what bougainvillea is used to. So bougainvillea will bloom in response to increasing rainfall after a dry period. And so you can induce blooms in bougainvillea multiple times of year if you let it go through that dry period. Here's what Granddaddy would do with the container plants. He would get them blooming in the containers. They would look really good. Then they would start dying down because it was just their nature to die down. And also containers, the soil began to dry out. They began to fill up the roots in the containers. The containers weren't large enough to contain a lot of plant growth anyway. So when that happened, and that which usually happened in fall for him, he would go ahead and cut the bougainvillea back, put it in the garage during the winter, just let it look ugly as it wanted to for the whole winter, because that's what it was going to do. It was going to go deciduous. It was going to drop its leaves. And then he would bring it, and then he would repot it and bring it back out, fertilize it, and it would bloom great. So when your bougainvillea is in a container, goes through those really ugly stages, just let it happen. And then we can talk about repotting, but I got to take a break. Can we come back after this break and talk about repotting and how to do it?
Sure.
Yeah, all right. Let's take a break. Charlie, we'll be right back.
Isn't that a night? Welcome back to Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast. Ask Bill Finch your gardening questions now at 343-0106.
Hey, welcome back. It's the Gulf Coast Sunday morning with Plain Gardening. Bougainvilleas. Robert, are you still on? Robert dropped. So, well, let's talk a little bit about bougainvilleas, a little bit more about them. They do tend to like a little bit of stress to bloom. One of the problems that I think a lot of people have had on the Gulf Coast with growing bougainvilleas in the ground is where they're marginally hardy, they'll come back, and they may survive the winter if you plant them in a protected place. But sometimes we get too much rainfall for bougainvilleas. That can cause root rot when they're in the ground. But it also can slow down the cycle of blooming. And bougainvilleas seem to like a little bit of water stress before they'll bloom. So one of the things Granddaddy Lumpkin always did was to just let the bougainvilleas go into dormancy. They seem to appreciate that. He'd cut them back, trim them up, repot them. And let me tell you about repotting. And you only have to do this, well, you'd really need to do this once a year. But the roots fill up the pot, and the soil, it gets very hard for the roots to deal with this old soil in the pot. So he would take them out of the pot, shake a little bit of the dirt off, trim those roots around the edges, and then repot them in a slightly larger pot if he could, a slightly larger container. Oftentimes the containers they come in, they are too small. But if he could do a slightly larger container, he would. If it was the same size container, he would trim the roots, add fresh soil, fertilize, water them. They'll grow like crazy and bloom like crazy. So there you go. It works really well. So you can use that pattern of them looking kind of ugly, which is in a container, which will happen because they're going to outgrow the container. Just let them go dormant for about a month. Just let them look ugly for about a month. Repot. Add a little bit of soil. They'll do great in containers, and then you'll get another big cluster of blooms. You know, watering plants in containers is another big deal, and it's hard for us to do. Let me tell you about watering in containers. For most plants, it's hard to just water over the top in a container. If you water over the top in a container, you're going to have to make three passes. I know this is, there are things I say all the time, but this is another one of those things I've learned. It makes all the difference. Water it pretty good. You know, water it for 30 seconds or a minute. Water it 30 seconds. Just let it get that water in there. You don't have to water it really hard. Just put about 30 seconds of water there. Walk away, water something else. Come back and water it again a couple of minutes later, okay? For 30 seconds, walk away, water something else, and then come back and water it for 30 seconds again. That's the way you get enough water to a plant. And there are many reasons I'm telling you to do that, but how you water makes a big difference for container plants, and that's something you need to do. The alternative, and I know Taxman would offer this advice too, is to get a tub or a bucket and just drop the whole container in there and just let it absorb that water slowly. You see what I'm saying? And that way you make sure it's really well watered. Pull it out after a few minutes, hang it back up again. You might want to let the water drip if it's on your porch, let it drip somewhere else, hang it up again, and that way you know it's really well watered. So those are some thoughts about bougainvilleas, about how to get them to bloom continuously. They do need a little bit of that. They seem to appreciate a little bit of stress, though. If you take care of them too good all the time, if they get too much rainfall and it's raining all the time and their growth is really good, they don't bloom very well. That's just one of the features. It's just what happens here along the Gulf Coast. Something to think about. And they would probably bloom better over winter, except that it's a little too cold for them to bloom here over winter. So just those are the things to think about. I hope that helped. Jim in Georgetown says, I'm definitely going to miss Taxman. Signature voice, sage advice. Rest in peace, buddy. And that's kind of the way we all feel, Jim. He was just a really, really great asset for the show. We're going to miss his voice, miss his thoughts, miss his opinions. It's almost hard to believe I don't get to rely on him anymore for great gardening advice. Dan says pine bark mulch will always make me think of Taxman. And that was because in the last days, we talked a lot about pine bark mulch and how it worked. Taxman was experimenting with, well, what else do I need besides pine bark to grow my plants in, which is a great experiment. And so Taxman was growing plants in pure pine bark, partly because, we had this discussion several times, and he thought, well, I'm going to try it, and he did. And he became a strong advocate of just using pure pine bark to grow his container plants in. It can work really well. We talked a little bit about what kind of pine bark should be used. It's probably better if it's aged. It's probably better if it's got a little bit of lime in it. Some growers I know will mix the pine bark with, say, peat moss, a little bit of peat moss. That may make a difference. It may not. Taxman thought in the end that it didn't. That's useful to know. I sometimes think it doesn't make much difference either, in spite of the fact that some of my best friends use peat moss in their potting mixes. But it's there it is. I understand what you're saying, Dan. He was really a part of what we do here. Hey, one of the things we're going to talk about this morning, we're going to run out of time here at the top of the hour. We're going to take a news break, and then we're going to be back. We're going to talk about seeds, and I'm going to talk about it for several reasons. I'm really stuck on this idea of stocking stuffers, and I keep thinking about all the things that I used to get stuffed in my stocking and thinking, gosh, if I had only gotten some seeds. So think about if you're a young kid, if you're going to put something in your children's stockings, put some seeds in there. Put some seeds in there of something that's easy to grow and that they'll have fun growing. What a great way to introduce seeds. Put some cool-looking seeds. Find some, Florida speckled butterbean seeds and put them in the stocking. What do you think about that? We got to take a break. We're going to be back. We're going to talk about more about the seeds you need to be growing this time of year. Listen in when we come back.